You're listening to the Corporate Expat Experience.
Hello and welcome. Today, I'm talking to Daniela Rosa. Daniela is the founder of Aya Golf, and she is changing the game in women's golf attire. Daniela is bringing together style and function, technology, to create not only an amazing line of activewear, but also creating community by leveraging the power of Web3. I can't wait for Daniela to share with you her epiphany moment when Aya Golf was born and how she took the leap from her corporate job to make Aya a reality. Daniela, welcome to the podcast and thank you so much for joining today.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so excited that we're finally doing this. We've been talking about this for several months now. So please introduce yourself to the audience.
My name is Daniela Rosa, and I'm currently based in Austin, Texas. I'm the founder of a women's golf and lifestyle brand called Aya Golf, which has now been 2 years in the making, and I just launched this past month, January 2024. The lifestyle brand is focused on the next generation of women's golf apparel and this next gen golf woman who wants something more casual, social, more entertaining in the golf world. And I'm here to dress her and make her feel really good on the course and empower that next generation of women golfers.
I love that. We're combining so many cool things. Fashion, first and foremost.
Yes.
One of my loves, right? And we've talked about this, but also the importance of women in sports and designing things that are really for them, that make them feel great and confident. And I think that as we're seeing, you know, women's sports really catapulting and really coming forward and getting into the spotlight right now, this is so timely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's never been a better time to join the golf world as a woman or pick up a sport or join a group, which is fantastic for me to see. I've been golfing for over 20 years now. I love it. I used to play competitively when I was younger and just socially as an adult. And especially since the pandemic, there have been a number of women who have decided to pick up clubs and just play socially with a group of friends or try to play competitively as well. Either one is fine and great. And I'm so excited to see this influx of women now in the sport.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And I want to dive into that a bit more because I'm really excited about the fact that you not only combine, I mean, the sports and the fashion, but also tech, right?
Yes.
So that's exciting.
Yes.
But you weren't always doing this. You've been in golf for a really long time, but that wasn't your profession. So let's talk about what you did in the corporate world before this.
Yeah, so golf, I've been playing socially for a number of years now and competitively when I was younger. However, I did have a 10-year career in the auction world. I was living in Chicago and New York, and I was in the watch department. So my specialty was vintage watches, and before that, it was jewelry pieces. And I loved what I was doing. I was working right in the heart of Manhattan and in kind of the influx of tons of different artworks and jewelry and watch pieces that were coming in and out of the auction house. And I loved everything I was doing with that.
That is vastly different. I mean, although there's the creative and the fashion aspect to that, just such a different motion there. So what changed? What was that catalyst that made you decide there's something different in store for me? Daniela 2.0.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually what I call it too. Daniela 2.0. Again, I was in the auction world for 10 years and I actually thought that would be my career forever. I loved what I was doing and I loved living in the city and kind of being part of the motion and the behind the scenes of the auction world. To be absolutely frank, I was stuck in this circle of corporate politics that I had been trying to get out of for a number of years, and it just wasn't moving. I wasn't going to be able to move. I didn't think I was going to be able to make any more money. And it was just, it was something that I needed to leave. And it was sad because I actually loved what I was doing again. But with that, I was, you know, my mind kind of shifted to a little bit of a different side of things. I had always had this entrepreneurial bug in me. I had a small fashion business, went right out of college. It was a t-shirt business. It was called Cut Clothing. And it started because I was cutting my football t-shirts, college football t-shirts, cutting off the shoulders and cutting off the bottoms and kind of making them these crop tops, you know, from these ill-fitting shirts into these cute crop tops for college football games. And friends of mine would say, "Where did you get that shirt?" And I said, "I literally cut this in my dorm room 10 minutes ago." And it kind of prompted this business. So I've had this in me for a while. And it was in the summer of July 2021, I had this aha moment, actually, which prompted my current business. And I was golfing with my family out in Colorado. And we were in the pro shop of this golf course. And I wanted something that said, to take home with me too, I was living in New York at the time, something to take home to New York that said Colorado on it, something cool from the pro shop. And true to form, I couldn't find anything cool in the women's golf side of the pro shop. There was one rack. There were not a lot of options. Half the things were on sale because no one wanted to buy any of the pieces. As usual, the same ill-fitting shirts, the same ill-fitting, you know, skirts and bottoms that I see at every pro shop my whole golf career. And the patterns are the same, the fits are the same, the colors are the same. And I said, same old, I'm not going to find anything here. So I went to the kids section of this pro shop and I found this little girl shirt, and it was very tiny, and it had a tie-dye pattern with mesh sleeves and a mock neck collar. And it just was one of the more stylish things I've ever seen, you know, in the golf world. And I had this moment holding up this little girl's shirt that I was like, oh my God, if this was in my size, I would buy this. And everything in my life kind of came to me at that moment of, it kind of made sense at that moment, holding up that little girl's shirt. And I wish I had that shirt today because it's prompted this whole business. But I said, I have this entrepreneurial spirit in me. I know I'm going to leave my career of 10 years. I don't know quite what I'm going to do yet. I've had this, you know, I've been a part of the golf world for a number of years. I'm well ingrained in it. I love the sport. Why don't I create fashion pieces that I would actually buy and wear on the golf course? So 6 months later, I quit my job and I've been doing this full time ever since.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I actually got goosebumps when you started talking about the shirt. That was what I was thinking is, did you take a picture of it? Did you buy it?
I wish I did. I'm so upset that I didn't.
Well, and that's amazing because you were already having this feeling of like you wanted to make a change. You're kind of stagnant in your career, not seeing that path forward, right? Or that path up. What could be my next career steps? Can I move? You're kind of locked in and then navigating the corporate politics. You have this aha moment. You said 6 months. What was that like when you got back home and had to go to work that next Monday or whatever? What were you thinking? What really said you had the aha moment, but what was that inspired action that you took to move forward?
That's a great question. So when I had this aha moment, it was, to me, I think it was a godsend moment. I have never had a moment like this in my life. It was something, everything just clicked. It's like all the Legos fit into place at that one moment. I even came up with the name of the brand in that moment. It was almost too much to handle. So when I went back to New York, you know, first of all, that experience in itself was a lot, feeling like, oh my God, am I really going to quit my job? And in a career I've had for 10 years that I've really worked hard to build and I love, am I going to quit this career and drop it completely and move on to something different? And I took that 6 months to really figure out financially, emotionally, if I could do it, if I could actually stop this career and move on to another one. And what really moved me forward was this feeling that I have never had before. I felt, although there was a lot of stressors, you know, with making that decision and of course starting this business, there has been something from that moment in July 2021 that has felt so grounding for me of like, this is exactly what I'm supposed to do. This is meant for me, despite the rainstorms, that's what keeps me grounded and feeling like this is what I need to do. So honestly, I wish it was something more elaborate, but it really was just a feeling of this is what I need to do. And this is meant for me.
There's such beauty in that simplicity of just that knowing that it is really truly, and people kind of laugh when I talk about this, but it's magical. It's all the things start to fall in place. And it's just, it's one of those things you kind of almost stand back and you're in wonder and amazement of what's going on, because it almost seems too simple and too easy. It's, there's a flow. Now there will be stress, obviously. And you did talk about me financially. We all know that kind of had a plan financially for, you know, making that move and that leap, that you need to sit down and crunch numbers and look at that. But you touched on emotionally. Can you talk about that a little bit? Like, what was that like emotionally for you? And how did you gain that, I guess, that grit or that resilience or whatever it was that you needed to make that move?
I always tell people that ask me kind of what are the most difficult things now that I've gone on this entrepreneurial journey. And one of them is realizing how lonely of a process this is. This is an incredibly lonely process to be a part of. And I mean that in a lot of ways, but also emotionally. These battles you're fighting with yourself every single day are real. I also tell people, if you want to see every single insecurity you've ever had, start a business. Like, it will come up. You can avoid it as long as you can. It will come up. You will need to face it. It will be dark and scary. And there's no way you're going to really be successful unless you tear through that fire and really look at what needs to be looked at. And, you know, again, every day when I pick myself up and pat myself on the back and say, we're doing it again. Yesterday wasn't easy, or yesterday was okay. You know, we're going to do it again. I just always have that central moment of, no, this is, I'm doing something bigger for myself. I know why I'm doing this. And I know this is on my path for me.
Well, you talked about being grounded, and that's one of the keys to it, is being able to have that compelling reason, that why, you know, of why you're doing it, and being able to remind yourself and having it set the conviction. And it's so strong that you remind yourself every day. And it does take you, there are definitely lonely times and dark times on the entrepreneurial journey. It's not everyone, it's not easy. How do you deal with that sometimes loneliness? Cause I think that's one of the things when I talk to people who have made the jump, especially from corporate, they say one of the things they miss the most is having colleagues or somebody that you can bounce ideas or you can just vent to and that who gets it. How do you deal with that loneliness right now as a fairly new entrepreneur?
I think one of the things that I tend to go back to quite often is something I brought up at the beginning of this, is my goal with the business is to empower the modern era of women golfers through style and community. So I want to really be able to, I'm really trying to make a mark in what I'm doing. You know, I'm not doing this for the money. I'm not doing it. I really want to change the way that golf is viewed, and that people can enter the space and feel good about themselves, feel good enough to even pick up a club for the first time. But besides that, with me having that kind of as my central core piece, I tend to go back to that quite a bit when I feel like the world is on my shoulders and I'm holding quite a bit, because as an entrepreneur, you're like an octopus. You're just like holding globes with every arm. And if one arm comes down, you feel like the world's going to explode, because in your mind, it is going to explode because you're holding everything. And so I've really made an effort to ingrain myself in communities of fellow entrepreneurs. Also, the golf community here in Austin is quite big, and the social golf community is even bigger, which I love. So it's an easy access point for me, and I truly enjoy that. So having people that enjoy the golf, this actual sport, but also can, you know, I'm ingraining myself with these entrepreneurial communities as well, has helped to be like, okay, I'm not the only one that's feeling really down today about X, Y, and Z. So just putting myself with those people has been very helpful.
It so is. I've found the same for me. You have to really find your people and the ones that resonate. And I love that you're tapping not only into the golf community, but other entrepreneurs as well. Because it is that camaraderie and sharing that, you know, sometimes your old friends don't really understand that if they're from a different world, if they're maybe still working their day jobs, and that's fine too. And you want those friends too, but it is good to have those like-minded. And one of the things that I talk about when you do make that leap, it's just like packing up and moving to another country. In entrepreneur land, you have to acclimate. You have to figure out, I mean, everything is different. The people are different, right? Yeah. Mindset is different that you need to succeed. You have to figure things out for the first time. The money is different. Even the food is different. I always talk about the feeding schedule is even different.
True.
You can choose your own hours. And I've had some people say, oh, this is great. I don't have to work, you know, a 60-hour week. And I said, no, you're still going to probably put in the long hours. You just get to choose when you want to do them for the most part.
Right. Absolutely. I actually had a friend of mine, and she didn't mean it in a bad way, but I've had multiple friends say, what do you do all day? And I almost wanted to faint when I heard that, because I'm like, what am I not doing all day? I barely sleep. You know, I'm trying my best here to manage my schedule, but yeah, it's a tough one managing your day sometimes as an entrepreneur.
It really is. And it's one of those things that I think that's a huge part of the acclimation. Is that when you're in, you know, corporate world or you're working for someone else, you have, you know, set meetings, you have set hours typically. Right. And I do know that now we're in an age where you're almost on demand because we have our email on our phone and text and all these Slack and all these things. But as an entrepreneur, you really have to figure out how to maximize your time because so much you're running on fumes. I mean, we talked about getting sick, right? How that can knock you out.
Absolutely. And then you feel guilty when you're out for a week, incredibly guilty, but you know, a day in the life.
But that's why you have the like-minded friends and the community to tap into, people to say, hey, look, it's okay. Cause we had this conversation literally right before we started recording. And it is one of those things like it's okay. And it's really important to put your own oxygen mask on first. Take a moment for yourself, because otherwise you'll run yourself ragged and you'll be out for longer.
I tell myself that quite often because I need to. I feel like I've been on the verge of burnout a few times already. And again, I've only been doing this 2 years. And I tell myself, I want to be sustainable, not only for myself, but for the business. And in order to do that, I have to take care of myself. Like it's a must. I have to balance my days. And that's still something that I'm working on, but I've definitely got better over the past 2 years of making sure exercise and eating and meditation are at the top of my list.
You're ahead of a lot of people because, you know, 2 years into it, for some people, it might not sound like a lot, but it really is in dog years when you're an entrepreneur. But 2 years though, I mean, a lot of people I know, it takes them 3 to 5 years to figure out some of this and it'll, you have ups and downs, right? There'll be times you're like, you have to reset and remind yourself to eat and remind yourself to sleep or meditate. But it's all very doable. You know, you mentioned something a little bit earlier about how the name also came to you. So tell us a little bit about Aya. Tell us how the name came about and what it means to you.
Yes. So Aya came to me in my vision at the Telluride Golf Club. And it is just the vowels of my first name, A-I-E-A, just the vowels of my first name. So it's my way of saying Daniela's Golf Brand without explicitly saying Daniela's Golf Brand. It's my way of putting myself out into the golf world without being so black and white about it. And it feels very good to me. And also when I trademarked the name, I found out Aya is a city in Hawaii. So I said, obviously I have to do an event there. So TBD, hopefully soon.
Oh, I love that. This is new to me. I didn't know. I was kind of saving it for the podcast because I wanted to be surprised, and I am. That's amazing.
Yes,
I love that. And then the synchronicity of that to know that it's, you know, a city as well.
Yes.
A perfect place. Yes. To have an event for sure.
Setting up shop there next, hopefully.
Well, you have a lot of amazing things going on. And I know you are definitely very excited about this journey. And I can feel your passion and your voice for those who are listening. And when this comes out on video, everyone's going to see how you light up when you talk about the brand. And you know, I think it's really interesting too, because it's not just cool and cute golf clothes. And they are, by the way, I've seen them. I was like, oh, maybe I need to be picking up some clubs and learning golf because I don't play.
That's great.
And I'm like, now I'm inspired because I can go shopping for some cute gear. And there is cute gear now to wear. So anyway, I digress. I was getting into this, but it's not just about the fashion and the empowerment, but let's talk about how you've integrated tech into that, because that's really interesting.
Yes. So I'm basically, I'm building two businesses simultaneously. So I have, as you mentioned, the physical gear, which is really important to what I'm doing and to my brand. So it is performance gear for golfers. It's made for the golf course, but it doesn't look golfy. Right. So I wanted to make sure that the clothing that I'm making is something that I would wear, of course. So it's more of an athleisure style. I call it elevated sportswear style, but made with performance fabrics and with golf specific details. So it's made for the golfer, but you could walk off the golf course and it doesn't look like you walked off a golf course.
So I'm okay wearing it. If I'm not playing golf, I could actually put some cute stuff on and just, you know, go out for lunch or go shopping or something. It's truly athleisure as well.
Absolutely. And I wanted to make sure that it doesn't, again, like it doesn't look like you came from a golf course. I wear my stuff obviously all the time. And I wear it off the golf course. When I was living in New York City, I would wear it just on the streets of New York with a blazer and it would look like a cool athleisure blazer look. And I loved it. So yes, so very transitional on and off the course. But second to that, I have the community building aspect of my brand, which is also equally, if not more, important to what I'm doing. So besides the fact that I have had trouble my whole golf career, if you will, finding clothes that I like and that fit me, second to that is the community, finding a community in the golf world that is very low pressure and brings together golfers of all skill levels in the name of fashion and golf and tech. And I'm trying to do that right now. So now there are, what's great is there are more and more women's golf groups that are popping up, especially in Austin, which are wonderful. And it's all skill levels. Doesn't matter if you've ever picked up a club, and I love what they're doing. But it still is intimidating for a lot of people who haven't been playing 20 years like me to walk onto a golf course or even in an indoor simulator center and just say, I don't even know what to do. I don't have my own clubs or whatever. So I wanted to make kind of an inclusive place for women or whoever to come into the golf space and feel like I don't even have to pick up a club. I can just learn about the sport and have fun. And there's more to golf than just what's your handicap. So the tech side comes into this in two ways. One, I have an NFT-based membership. Actually, it's called the Season Pass. It's already launched and it's in beta mode. I launched it last November, and the Season Pass is kind of the entry point into this Aya golf ecosystem, if you will. And I'm currently offering things like discounts on other golf brands that I'm working with, golf balls, PT resources, things like that for golfers. But second to that, I'm integrating NFC technology or chips into my clothing starting November of this year with my second collection. So I'm going to have chips in certain of my pieces. And that will actually, when you scan the chip, that's your entry point into the Aya ecosystem now in a physical way. So the NFC chip, you'll be able to purchase the piece, scan the garment, and you'll now have access to the Season Pass and all the perks and benefits and the community within that. I'll be able to chat with members directly kind of through this technology that I'm building out. And it just kind of brings together a group of people. Again, it's the golf is the undercurrent here for that side of the business. I don't want it to be so hyper golfy, if that makes sense. So again, it doesn't matter if you have a handicap or you've played before, or you've been playing for 20 years. It's just golf is the background of what I'm doing. I want to make an accessible entry point for people who are interested in the golf culture itself. So that's building out right now. And I'm really excited about it. There's a lot of moving pieces behind the scenes.
How did you decide to go with tech to do this? Because for me, I'm in the Web3 world. I have a background and career in tech. So it's a no-brainer for me to think of these things for loyalty programs and for communities. But how did you come about this? Because that wasn't your world.
Yeah, that's a great question. I got interested in this community over the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I really immersed myself into the Web3 space. And that's, I just have a natural inclination towards it. I agree with everything that's going on in it. And I think it's going to be the next generation of community building, you know, just like you said. I knew when I started this business, it was never just going to be about clothes. Mm-hmm. Never. Like I could have slapped my logo on a million different t-shirts already and you know, whatever. And I knew it was the community side was really important to me. And I wanted to edge it up. Like this Web3 side of things, I have a personal interest in, and I wanted to be ingrained in my brand. It's as simple as that. And this is my way of doing that, actually.
You know, community is so important. And I was just reading something yesterday that was talking about the new way to build businesses. It used to be you build the product first and then the community would follow, but there wasn't a huge emphasis always on actually building specifically, like really truly building a community around the product. Now it's launch a community, build a community and have integrate a product. And I love that you have that aspect of it, not only from a business standpoint, you know, because they work so well together and you're really, that's building the success of the business by having a community rallying behind and supporting and getting active, but also much needed today. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, post-pandemic, we're all looking for new and innovative ways to connect in a combination of online and in person, right? But also those shared interests are so important. Like you were talking about before, when you became an entrepreneur, you're tapping into the golf community, but also to the entrepreneurial community.
Right, right. And, you know, look, I've hit my own barriers building community first, you know, as I'm building this brand too. It hasn't been an easy journey, but I'm learning a lot. And there is a huge need for this and desire, frankly, for this community, especially in the golf space. And I think most of my barriers are coming. I'm building this type of new age system, if you will, in a very traditional space. Yeah. And I keep getting reminded of that it's, I'm really looking at an uphill battle here. I am walking up a mountain in a lot of ways, but especially when it comes to integrating tech into golf apparel, mm-hmm. it just, as far as I know, it hasn't been done. So, you know, there are a lot of things that I'm learning on the way and pivots. I've never had to pivot so much in my life. And I feel like the past 2 years, I thought I was good at pivoting. And now I know I'm good at it because I've had to do it many, many, many times.
It's an amazing skill to master for sure. And you're definitely getting a master class in that with being an entrepreneur. I think one of the other interesting things too, I like what you just said about you're trying to bring technology and something that's, you know, the next, right, evolution of technology into a very traditional space. Has there been resistance or has there been head scratching curiosity? How are people receiving that?
I have had both good and bad. I've had mostly resistance, if I'm being completely frank. My biggest point of resistance actually was at the PGA show a couple of weeks ago. It was my full launch of the brand. It was a wonderful experience. I had a tremendous response to my brand and to me, and it was very validating for me, and it was great. When I spoke about the tech side of the business, it was a lot of eyes glazed over, a lot of, we didn't get it. What's it for? Whatever. And I expected that, but it was pretty consistent. And I have had resistance in the form of just maybe not wanting to change. Again, the golf world is very traditional still to this day, and that's okay. I have tremendous respect for the sport, and I'm not trying to do a complete overhaul, but I think there is room to grow. There is room to adjust. Golfers my age want a different experience while respecting the sport. We can do something a little bit different, edge it up. We don't have to play 18 holes all the time. Maybe we want to play 9 or 12 and that's it. And come back to the clubhouse and have more of a social environment instead of, again, what's your handicap? Who won? Blah, blah, blah. So explaining that to people over and over and over who are in a different age group, frankly, you know, is a little bit difficult. And I believe in it so passionately. Like, I know this is going to be what people want. Like, this is going to be the next generation of the golf world. And it's just, I just feel like there's so much room that we can grow into this space. And I have had to mentally shift myself and remind myself, like, there's a reason why I believe in this so much. Like, I've been golfing for 20 years. I'm not making this up out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I just need to keep going with that and chip away a little at a time. But it's going to take, I think, a little bit longer than I expected for adoption.
Well, I think too, many people are intimidated by technology. And it's understandable, right? Things are changing so rapidly these days that it's hard to keep up. And you feel like you learned something, you just now got the hang of it, and now there's something totally new and you have to go learn something else. You're like, can I just stay here for a little while and enjoy what I just learned?
Exactly.
But I think too, you know, and I'm sure you've had questions come up like, you know, a chip in my gear, like in my clothes, what does that mean? Can I wash it? You know, like everything from those kind of questions to why is that even important? But when you really focus on the benefits of the technology, it's basically just a doorway and entry into a community and to get you in the club, right, so to speak. It kind of shifts the perspective of it.
Definitely. And I feel like I'm still learning the language in Web3 space in general. As you know, it's changing literally every day. And I feel like I can't even keep up. But to describe that to people, you know, I've had to nix the word NFT completely. I can't say that to people. Then I lose the crowd, you know, and then I hear about this monkey picture and this and whatever. So I have to completely pivot from that, right, and just call it a digital collectible. But even with that, it's like, why do I need this? Why do I need that? And it's true. I mean, right now it's a little bit of a novelty thing, and I'm okay with saying that. And, but I also truly believe in the technology as well. So trying to make people see that is a journey that I'm on right now.
Well, no, and I think too, it really is the most exciting things in this new era of the internet, Web3, they really haven't even been thought of yet. So the fact that you're early in, basically you're giving them a passport into this whole new tech world, but you're giving them a passport into the community aspect of it. And that's really where the focus is. But it is cool that it's forward thinking, that it's next generation, it's next level, it's the next evolution of, you know, of performance wear. I mean, that's really what it's about, right?
Yes. Connecting community through your physical garments. I don't see why not. So.
I love it. And I, you know, the other thing too, though, the tech and the performance aspect of it doesn't just stop. It's not just about the chip or the technology and going into the community, but actually the fabrics you chose, the designs, the way you did it. That's true performance wear as well. And that's really another level of technology that people forget that there's, you know, the fabric tech, the fashion tech as well.
That's true. And I actually forget about that sometimes, but it's something that was really important to me as well, to make sure that the fabrics were high quality and they are truly performance wear, and they're made for the golf swing, not just to look cute on the course, but they're made to move with you when you swing. Because half of these clothes I try on, I'm like, is anyone actually asking a woman what her body does when she takes a swing? I don't think so. So I'm going to do it myself. And that's where the pieces came from.
Now that's so important because, you know, women designed for women by women, right?
Yeah.
It's so important because to your point, I mean, I've been in, you know, different, like say to wear something to a Pilates class, for example, and I'm like, it's super cute. And I get there and I'm like, and it's super see-through. And I wasn't expecting that as I'm in a downward dog on a Pilates with a spotlight on me. And I'm like, oh, that's not what I was expecting. So yes, one of the things that I loved, and you and I talked about this, was how you've really put thought and consideration into the designs so that they are appropriate for the golf course, but also off the course, and they're, you know, have the performance technology all combined into it. I mean, it's just truly amazing what you've designed and brought to life.
I appreciate that. Yes. And you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly. I want to make sure that the clothes can be worn at a quote traditional golf club where I grew up playing golf, but also when you go to a simulator indoor center where there basically is no dress code. Like I wanted it to be appropriate for both. And that was really important. And I hope I'm doing that with my lines here.
So I'm going to shift back a little bit to the journey, right? The adventure, as I call it. Is there anything that you miss from being in the corporate world? I mean, we talked about just, you know, loneliness and camaraderie, but is there anything else that you miss from being in a corporate environment or working at a company?
I think, and I never thought I'd say this, but maybe the structure of it, to really be able to check out at 6 p.m. and not feel like the world is still on your shoulders, because I can truly come back tomorrow and it's going to be okay. I don't feel that way at all. You know, I wish I had the ability to just check out at six, but my mind is constantly, constantly running. Mm. So I think that's the biggest one, besides the camaraderie, is feeling like I have a true structured day.
Is there anything that surprised you about being in business for yourself, being an entrepreneur?
Yes. I have had a tremendous amount of unsolicited advice given to me, and I am all about taking advice. I am new to this and I know that, but I have had people project on me quite a bit for their unrealized business ideas, say, or kind of things that have happened to them in the past. And I've had to learn how to filter out a lot of that advice. To take it from people who have truly been there, truly have my best interest at heart, are in the golf world or in the tech world or in their own entrepreneurial spot. Most of the advice or criticism I get, I'm finding, are people who would never leave their 9-to-5, never put their money behind their own business. And I've had to really kind of stick with my gut of feeling like this feels not right for me, or I should listen to this, kind of filtering out. For sure.
That's really good. That's an interesting one to bring up. And I don't hear that very often, but it is so true. I know I've experienced it as well. And I'm trying to remember that quote now that says, basically, you know, are you taking advice from someone who's been there, done that? Yeah. You know, and you want to make sure that the advice is coming from a place of experience, but also truly of heart and, you know, from a good place. And not maybe just, like you said, their frustration or somebody, you know, just telling you what to do, thinking that they have the better way.
100%. That happens to me all the time still. And I also think there's that woman factor in it too. Mm-hmm. And I'm very much not about like us versus them, right, but no. Sometimes I am like, you know, would you be saying this to me if I was a man?
Right. You know? Totally agree with you on that.
I don't think so. So
that's so interesting. Building those filters, it's a challenge. It absolutely is. And you have to start to realize what the noise is and filter that out for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important.
So with that said, you've given so much great advisement here and some really good insights into the entrepreneurial journey. Is there any advice that you now know that you may have given to yourself, you know, making this journey, or to those people out there who are looking to make a change? What advice would you give them?
Yeah, I think I have a few. So snowballing of what we were just talking about, I found from experience these past couple of years that whenever I listened, when I felt like I was listening to someone's advice because I felt like, oh, they know better than me, it never, the vision for my brand was changing in a bad way. And so I would just say 100% trust your gut. If something doesn't feel right, trust it. Trust it. I've had setbacks because I didn't trust my gut and I was listening to someone else who I shouldn't have been listening to. Second to that is also kind of what I tell my friends who are looking to go on this entrepreneurial journey, is whatever time commitment, financial commitment, and emotional commitment you think you're going to have, times it by three. 100%, times it by three, because it's going to take you way longer, way more money, and way more emotional capacity than you can ever imagine. But if you have that driving force, if you really feel it in your core, it's the best thing in the world.
Oh, that's amazing. I totally agree. If it's right for you, it's right for you. And it seems like the stars just aligned perfectly, guiding you on this way. And I know it's not been an easy ride and there's still more adventure to come. But you were off to an amazing start, Daniela, and I really appreciate you being here. And where can people find you?
Yes, you can find me on my website, aiagolf.com. That's aiagolf.com. And also on Instagram at aiagolf.
Oh, it's so exciting. And I know you have some amazing collections coming up. So everybody needs to stay tuned and check out her social media. Daniela, thank you so much for being here. We so appreciate you. And I'm looking forward to very exciting things for you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks a lot.
Everyone, thank you so much for joining. Until the next episode, bye for now. Thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed this episode and would like to help support this podcast, please hit subscribe,
leave a rating and review, share it with others, or post about it on social media. For show notes, links, to connect with guests and more, visit us at corporate-expat.com. And be sure to catch the next episode with more insights and inspiration to support your corporate expat experience. Bye for now.